a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning from Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Richard Schmidt, filling in today for Pastor Greg Huffman, who's taking off a couple of needed days. He will be back after a few broadcasts and will once again be holding the microphone here at the Word for Life. Well, for the next three broadcasts, we're going to be discussing a topic basically called Grasping Godliness. It's a message I had given somewhat in part at a men's meeting some weeks ago and was asked to share it here on the air with you, our listeners. And again, I'm trusting you're having a great day and a good morning, and that this broadcast will be a good challenge for you and help you in your walk with the Lord this morning. Well, what we want to discuss this morning is, what is a dominant, controlling, compelling drive in your life? What one thing is more important to the majority of human beings than anything else? What is that compelling drive that really we all seek to accomplish? You know, if you go to different groups, you'll get different types of answers. If you ask the question of a teenage group, commonly I get answers like affection, attention, food, and I guess I'm, even though I'm a bit older than a teen, I like that one myself, peer approval, mainly things that have some type of a relational nexus. If you step up to the next age group and maybe discuss the same concept of what is that dominant, compelling drive in your life, to a group of young adults, a couple of other interesting items usually show up. What is the most important human drive? And a majority of young people will come up with love or physical intimate relationships. Again, that's extremely important to that particular age group, as well as affection, attention, peer approval, and other such items. Well, may I suggest this morning that there's something that each of us, no matter which group of people we address this morning, that's a very dominant, compelling drive in the majority of human beings. And that is, are you ready? Survival, or the will to live. Just think about it for a moment. If you're deprived of certain things for a short time, let's just say I don't eat today, or you're without a meal for a day or two, or maybe you're missing water for a day or two, or you can't get new clothes, or you're having a difficult time finding shelter, which, of course, some people literally do in this world and even here in our local city. Or you're leaving out, not getting attention, or love seems to be missing in your life, or there's no intimacy. Really, if those things are missing, you can still survive. You can still live. But let's go to a different level. What happens if, for some reason, you went for a long term without food or without water? All of a sudden, those issues become an extremely compelling drive, and most people, in an attempt to survive or to live, are going to do everything possible they can to get the food or the water, the shelter that they may desperately need. It's a very, very strong desire. Well, I want to challenge each of us this morning. I'm challenging myself as well. As Christians, as those who are truly what we'll call born again, those who have truly trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those who knew their sins are forgiven and you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what is our compelling drive? And may I suggest this morning that our compelling drive should be after grasping godliness. Let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, young people, whoever's listening this morning, what price are we or are you specifically willing to pay for godliness? To what lengths are we willing to sacrifice? To what degree are we willing to discipline ourselves for the sake of the gospel? I like the verse in Proverbs 27:17, and it states, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Well, this morning, I'd like my iron, if you will, to sharpen your iron, and maybe through the broadcast, we can sharpen each other's iron, if you will, specifically our spiritual iron. Can we make our blades sharper for the Lord? Can we walk closer with the Lord today? So over the next three broadcasts, we're going to examine three reasons why Christians must be self-disciplined or self-controlled. We're going to use one passage over the next three broadcasts, specifically 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 9. And I'm going to quickly read that for us. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. I like that word, self-control. To self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And the verse goes on, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Well, first thing we're going to look at today is we must be self-controlled or self-disciplined for this basic core reason. Because God has commanded us to be. That makes it very short, very simple. God gave us this command that we ought to be self-controlled, and it's included in these eight character traits that we just mentioned. Well, this morning we're just going to take a very quick look at the first four character traits that Peter mentions in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And let me just refresh this real quick again. And it states, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, in other words, giving 100%, really applying ourselves to it, we're challenged to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. So let's take a look at those words. First thing we're asked to apply ourselves to is the concept of faith. In other words, faith in very simplistic form is explained to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, these are things we haven't seen, we're pushing for, we place our faith in them, and that's the definition of it. So faith is basically we haven't seen it, but we're placing our assurance in it. We believe in it. We find truth in it. And where do we find that truth? And where does God ask us to place our faith? And basically, in John 17, 7, the Bible tells us your word or the Bible or the scripture is truth. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it states, all your words are true. All your words are true. So simply this, we are to exercise faith. And that's difficult sometimes because looking, especially if you're a visual person, trying to grasp onto something you can't see may be a difficult task, but God asks us to have faith. Second thing he says is virtue. This is a powerful word in its most powerful form. Virtue means literally manliness in the original, to have valor, to strive for excellence. In Colossians 3:23, as Christians, we're asked to strive in everything we do to strive for excellence. In other words, it states, in whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He said, add to your virtue knowledge. What is knowledge? Well, we're looking at the concept of knowledge of God, to understand who God is. In Acts 17:11, it encourages us to search the scriptures daily to learn the truths about the Lord God. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, young people, boys and girls this morning, did you spend some time in the Word of God? Most of you will hear this broadcast early in the morning. Let me ask you, have you spent some time in God's Word this morning? It's a challenging thing for us. Well, the fourth thing God asks us to look at and to obtain is self-control. Self-control. In other words, if we look at the original in the Greek word, which for some of you may be meaningful, which is enkratia, basically what the original language means that the Bible was written in as far as self-control is to be sober or seriously minded towards spiritual things, to have restraint, to do things in moderation. In other words, to control ourselves as unto the Lord. As Christians, let me ask this question. Are we mastering our passions and our desires? Well, I'll tell you, as a young grade school child, I had the opportunity. My mom and dad were great folks. My dad bought a pool for us when we were young, nice big size above ground pool. And one of the things as a young child that I really enjoyed doing, which I learned not to enjoy so much, was when my dad would get in the pool with us on occasion, as a little tyke, probably 7, 8 years old, I'd try and dunk my big old strong dad. And I'd do everything I could. I'd try hard and I'd try and push him down. And one day, my big old strong dad said, enough's enough, son. I need to teach you a lesson. So he grabbed me, and he took me by the head, and he held me under water. Oh, my goodness. Not a fun time. All of a sudden, I couldn't find air. I couldn't breathe. I knew I couldn't open my mouth because I just suck in water. And I began to fight and to punch and to kick and to do everything possible that I could to try and get up so I could get some air. How bad did I want that air? Enough to try and fight my big old strong dad. Well, finally, my dad let me up. I started mad as a hornet. And of course, as a little guy, I started crying and asked him why he did it. And basically, he said, listen, how bad did you want air? And I said, I wanted it real bad. Ladies and gentlemen and young folks, let me ask you this. How bad do you want to breathe? And let me suggest that you want to breathe badly in the worst way. Well, let's transfer that to a spiritual application. How badly do you want to serve the Lord? As much as you want air? How much are you willing to grasp for godliness? As much as you want to breathe? As much as you want to eat? As much as you want to enjoy relationships? I would say we were going to strive extremely hard for that, and that's a motivating thing to me. You know, there's a movie that came out, which actually also is a book called Unbroken. It's about a war veteran named Louis Zamperini. This individual, if you see the movie or read the book, and I suggest you read the book much more than the movie, as the book goes into some extremely great spiritual things that happened in his life. But here was a young man who, quite frankly, was kind of a rebel and a rowdy kid, and when he got a little bit older, he joined the service and entered the Pacific Theater. After some time, he was shot down and ended up in the ocean. He lived in unbelievable conditions for over 40-odd days, floating in an old disintegrated raft. He was circled by aggressive sharks. He was scorched by the sun. He endured inescapable hunger, yet he fought and he strived with everything he had to keep alive. Eventually, he was caught by the Japanese, and he was placed into a concentration camp where he was beat, and he was starved, and he was worked, and he was tortured. But finally, of course, he was liberated at the end of the war, and he lived through the war. Well, in 1949, Louis Zamperini, after he was delivered, was struggling with alcoholism, and he had post-traumatic stress disorder, and his life was just spiraling downhill. Well, his wife, Cindy, went to a revival meeting, and there for the first time she heard that Jesus Christ loved her and that she was a sinner and needed Christ. And that night, Cindy, his wife, walked the aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She came home after knowing that she couldn't take it anymore, Louis, who had just become an obnoxious, horrible person to live with, and she begged Louis to come to the crusade to find Jesus Christ. Louis said, listen, I'll go. He fought in his mind, but he finally went, and that's where he found Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young people, Jesus Christ is the difference. Are we grasping for godliness? 2 Peter chapter 1 said, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Let's start our day today walking with God. Are you walking with God this morning? Have you read your Bible yet? Have you taken a little bit of time to pray? Would you do it right now? Would you seek the Lord and grasp for godliness?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.